Sometimes life as parents gets hard and can get you down. When that happens, you need a parental break.
Justin and Caitlin have been married for 4.5 years. They have one child and work together to accomplish their goals.
Justin and Caitlin will discuss all topics. They just want to give you a parental break.
Hello there, and welcome to our podcast. I'm Justin.
And I'm Caitlin.
And today, we have a lovely, special friend and a dear friend to our hearts. And you may know her if you follow her on TikTok as the lovely, unpopular opinion queen. How are you today?
Hi, I'm great. I was getting into that intro.
So today, we're going to talk about on our podcast. Caitlin, do you want to tell them what we're going to talk about today?
Abortion,
yes. Because this topic has been raised. The reason why I wanted to talk about this topic is the lovely queen actually had been having very serious discussions on her lives about it. And I just wanted to talk about it today because it's a topic that's eventually going to get to the Supreme Court and could overturn Roe v. Wade. And so we're going to talk about the cons of it. So, Queen, what do you want to say first about it?
First, I'm very pro-life. So, what do you mean by the cons of it?
Well, for example, you know, it obviously terminates the future child being born. If it goes wrong, there can be some serious health complications if it goes wrong, too.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. In fact, let's first get a good idea of what the World Health Organization considers as an abortion. And this is from their website. First of all, some of the key facts they say is abortion is a common health intervention, which I don't agree with. 6 out of 10 of all unintended pregnancies end with an induced abortion. That's 60% of all abortions in the world end with one. Unsafe abortion is a leading but preventable causes of maternal deaths and morbidities. But their term for abortion is anything. Abortion is a simple health care intervention that can be effectively managed by the wide range of health workers using medication or surgical procedures. And actually, the World Health Organization actually says in the first 12 weeks of pregnancy, a medical abortion can be performed. So, Queen, what do you think about that?
Well, I believe that life begins at conception. So for me, I don't think that you should be aborting a fetus even at 12 weeks or 8 weeks or whatever the typical standard practice is. I just don't agree with it.
I don't agree with it either. And Caitlin, you don't agree with it because we also believe life begins at conception. Yeah. I would say, actually, I'm one of those ones that also believes that life begins as soon as the baby is implanted into the uterus, uterine wall. That's when I say you can't really touch it. Now, you know, as a society, we can't come to that agreement, but I feel like, you know, talking about when it has a heartbeat, that's a good line to draw in the sand, in my honest opinion. Some people don't believe in that. How do you feel, Queen?
Well, at what point does the fetus develop a heartbeat?
They say it's about six weeks, honey. Mm-hmm. Because we had a baby 2 years ago, so it's
not
about
2.
Well, okay, 3. It'd be 3.
3 and 2 weeks.
3 and 2 weeks. That's right. I keep forgetting our little one's going to be 3 years old. we believe that it's 6 weeks because I think that's when Caitlin went and got her first ultrasound and heard the baby's heartbeat for the first time. So,
who knew she was going to be a diva?
Right.
I'm just kidding.
And see, there's also some some major backlash because, you know, Texas was the first one to make it where abortion, the line drawn in the sand was at 6 weeks. Well, Chrissy Noem in South Dakota, where our lovely Boulder is from, Republicans actually blocked Chrissy Noem's abortion bill ban, which mimicked basically what Texas enforced. So we're talking about that. Here in South Carolina, where we live, McMaster signed a bill back in, what, May of last year?
Something like that.
That as soon as a heartbeat's detected, you can't abort the child. However, the state Supreme Court here in South Carolina blocked it. So we're talking that it's a major issue in society. And it's one of those things, like you said, life begins at conception, and we believe that. We believe, and we've mentioned this on a podcast before, if you are taking the initiative to have sex, like you're going to have, you know the consequences that comes with having sex, and unprotected sex is that. Do you agree with that, Queen?
Oh, absolutely.
Hun, do you want to say anything?
Oh, not right now.
Oh, okay.
You put me on the spot, Justin.
I'm sorry, sweetheart.
I've had a headache all day.
I know, baby, I know.
Later.
Some of the other things I was pulling up, because I've been researching this, because it's a topic that I'm familiar with, but I wanted some more research on it. Queen, did you know that alongside Canada, China, Vietnam, North Korea, and South Korea, United States is only one of six nations that allow abortion at any point during the entire pregnancy, even to the point of late term?
No, ma'am. Nope.
I was unaware of that, and it honestly disgusts me.
Yep. Yes, and I'll say this, because Papa brought this to my attention last night on their podcast, and so did Tier, that that's because we allow abortions only into pregnancy. Some of these places actually allow it after pregnancy, talking about kids with special needs, things like that, in other countries in the world. So we can't fault those numbers, but we also need to understand that it is a serious issue in the United States. And here's the problem we see, and me and Caitlin talked about this before the podcast, that people don't want to own up to their own responsibility, as Tier will say, and he'll probably smile when we say this. There is no accountability when it comes to your responsibility, and that's a major problem in this society. And then here's the thing I wanted to get into, Queen. So you had someone on your live one night that talked about how that the mother of the child actually weaponized the fact that she was pregnant because the man wasn't doing something in his responsibility. So she said, well, if you don't do this, I will go get an abortion.
Yes, that actually turned my stomach. I almost wanted to not believe it. And like, there's this tingling in the back of my mind that almost wanted to call this man a liar. And then as the comments were going after he said that, there were so many men that were like saying similar stories. And I was like, okay, maybe I just truly don't want to believe that women can be this sick too, because it doesn't seem like a life in their eyes. They're not just they're using it as like leverage, but that is a human being, and I never thought that people in this society could be that sick, but apparently they can. So I'm sitting here and I'm like almost judging the man, and I had to like really like take a step back and check myself because I'm like, I'm doubting this man. And there are so many other men in the comment section saying that they've had similar experiences. And I was just like, holy shit, women can be truly foul.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And a lot of things is you can even go to the extent, and, you know, it's a very, very thin line that you can say, because I talked to Caitlin about this too. When a woman says that they are raped, because they say 1% makes up the abortions that are considered rape or incestual, that maybe the woman could be, you know, stretching the truth a little bit. I'm not going to say straight out lying, just to try to get away from her responsibility. Have you ever thought of that one too?
Oh, I've definitely thought of that one, and that's, like, one of the shittier topics that no one likes to address. I mean, obviously, but if you do ban abortion to limit it to if an individual was raped or sexually assaulted, how many women would stretch that truth in order to get out of that responsibility?
Yes. And see, this is the problem we have, me and Caitlin as Christians, that... You know, the human heart is a naturally evil thing. That's what our Bible teaches us. And until you come to Christ, you know that the heart is an evil thing. Would women actually use this to weaponize the fact that they can get out of the responsibility? All if they say is, I was sexually assaulted or I was raped, you know?
Yes. So, and even coming from, a non-religious standpoint, you guys know that I'm not religious, yeah. And I definitely respect your religion, but I'm one of those people that I find it so unbelievable when these stories come to me from these individuals, and I almost question them, because I believe that people are good-hearted by nature,
mm-hmm.
and that you truly realize how much evil there is in the world, and then you're just like, it takes me back all the time. But, yeah, I honestly would hope that no one would stretch that truth. And for me personally, and I'm not saying this isn't like an I'm better than anyone. Mm. It's just if I personally were sexually assaulted, I could not abort the baby due to those circumstances. I don't view it as the baby's fault. And I do have an understanding of, you know, if a woman truly can't handle that,
mm-hmm.
I get it. But at the same time, I don't see myself personally doing that. So, you know, for me, it's all about the life,
yeah,
that is in your hands, literally in your hands. And you have the choice to terminate that. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't make sense to me how that even came about, besides unless of course it's medically necessary. And in the terms of it being medically necessary, I would think of ectopic pregnancies, where there is truly no chance, no hope for not just the baby, but the mother's survival as well.
Yeah. I mean, we can even actually go to the extent, honey, you used to have a friend that actually had to have an abortion medically, surgically, because the baby's brain activity stopped.
Yep.
Remember?
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry, I had to jog her memory. It was two or three years ago.
Yeah, me and that girl's not friends no more, so, but that's not what, you know, caused it, but yeah, she had to get that procedure done.
And it killed her, because yeah. She had to have this done. Like, is there any way the brain activity would come back? And the doctor said,
no,
there's not. There's no movement. There's no brain activity.
Baby's not growing.
The baby's not growing. And at that point, you know, you can't fault a surgical abortion, because baby's not going to grow. Baby's pretty much dead. But there are also lawmakers, and I found this in my research as well, in Ohio, that when it comes to aborting fetal remains, that they don't want them cremated or they don't want them buried. I'm sorry, that's still a child's life that was literally terminated from the mother. And they don't want to have the ability to bury them, give them the proper burial, because, you know, the baby's dead. I have a real problem with that. Don't you, honey?
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Queen?
I would have a real problem with that. If someone were to tell me that I can't have a ceremony for my child who didn't make it out of the womb, that is still a death in my eyes. I don't understand why anyone would limit your capability of doing something with it. I mean, isn't it your money that you're paying for the funeral costs with? Like,
yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. So we're basically throwing fetal remains to the curb, so to speak. We're throwing them almost as bad as, I don't know if you listened to our podcast about the woman that literally took a baby.
Didn't know she was pregnant.
Did not know she was pregnant.
18 years old.
And threw it in the trash like it was just a regular trash bag. And
Somehow,
it was a miracle that someone that was dumpster diving found the child. And it's things like this, and of course, people that are for abortion will say, well, you're going to lead to this. Well, there are programs out there, and one of the programs, and the police officer that was on the case even said this, there are programs such as safe haven spots that you can drop off a child without criminalization, and it will be raised in a foster child setting.
Yep.
And I think a lot of this is we're not educating today's America that, you know, abortion, we're educating them that abortion is the only way. And there are other ways to do this. I mean, yes, you can't flee from your responsibility. And I believe Coop told me this. He's like, okay, so if you want, even in a impoverished setting, for parents to go through having a pregnancy and all. Actually, when that baby gets born, they could change their mind and even put themselves into more poverty. And it's like I told him, I was like, well, there are programs out there that can help you raise that child if you have that decision that you don't want to put it up for adoption anymore. And, I mean, there are programs out there that would help with this thing. With children being born into this world. And I've always said this, and of course, as me being a man, supposedly I don't have an opinion because I don't have a uterus.
But, oh, hell no.
I never understood that. And I believe that if you are going to abort, this is just my personal belief, if you are going to constantly abort children, like some of the things I've seen, then you should not have the ability to have children until you're ready. You get what I'm saying? So whether it's putting them on medication that, like Tier told me, there are medications in other countries that temporarily sterilize a male, just temporarily. It's not a permanent thing, but it keeps them from producing children. If they could go into medical research to do medications that would temporarily sterilize a woman till they're ready to have children, I think people would understand. Because you're not going to be able to change the condition of the human heart. People are still going to have sex. People are still going to do things that would, you know, in a church setting would be questionable things, obviously. But yes.
We're all humans,
obviously. And if you could give them the opportunity to maybe still do the things they want to do, yes, abstinence is always the best policy. Growing up, I learned that too. But if you're going to have sex, understand that there were consequences with it. Maybe they would go the route of, well, if there are going to be consequences, either A, I'm not going to have sex, or B, let me take these medications that have been medically researched and everything, not like our vaccine, but would, you know, temporarily sterilize me so I could still have sex if I wanted to. And I would even go to the extent of putting an age limit on it. If you're 18 or older, you could take this. But, you know, anybody younger, I wouldn't suggest it, because then you're teaching people that you can have sex at a young age and not have responsibility. You still are teaching children growing up that they have responsibilities and there are consequences for your actions.
Well, I disagree with that to an extent. This, especially with this up and coming generation, I know that kids are starting to have sex younger and younger. And, you know, I was working at a gas station at one point and I had a very, very young child, 12 years old, probably, come to the register and he was purchasing condoms. So for me, I crack a joke and I'm like, hope you're buying those to make water balloons. And he was like, nah, like, you know, kind of showing off.
Mm-hmm.
And of course I sold it to him. I'm like, if you're going to do it, I'd rather have you do it protected. Turns out his mother got in line, or his girlfriend's mom got in line behind him, and I was still laughing. And she was asking what I was laughing about. And I had told her, you know, this little 12-year-old boy just bought condoms. And she said, oh, that's my daughter's boyfriend, and she's 13, and I'm going to go have a conversation. So, you know.
Oh, my.
yeah, obviously, I didn't mean to, like, snitch him out or whatever. But when it comes to, I don't care what age you are, if you're going to be active, if you're going to be stupid, because let's be real, kids are stupid. I was 12 and I was stupid.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't lose my virginity at 12. Not that kind of stupid, but you know, we all think that we're invincible at that age. And when it comes to birth control, I think it should be readily available for younger individuals mm-hmm. than. Personally, I'm on the IUD, the copper IUD.
Mm-hmm.
That's a non-hormonal, just IUD. It doesn't really have any side effects. And the only thing it really does is make it so that the uterus is inhibitable for a fetus. So the egg itself can potentially get fertilized, rarely, but at the same time, it wouldn't have the ability to make the attachment to the wall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's, you know, if there was more information out about birth control, about condoms, about these programs that, you know, the no questions asked, drop your baby off, or the programs for adoption, or the programs for... what's the word for it? Now I'm not even going to think about it. Fostering or anything. But no, America likes to push abortion. For mm-hmm. why? I don't know.
Well, I mean, we have a philosophy what that is, because the original creator of Planned Parenthood was into eugenics and euthanasia and all this. So we have the philosophy that it has to do with eugenics and trying to make limit population growth. But we won't get into that, because that's for another day, obviously.
Yeah. That's a conversation right there.
Yeah, that's a definite different conversation, because I mean going back to the issue, because I said the thing that most feminists will say. So let's get into our next topic, which is feminism, because you did a video today, and I thought we should talk about this, because it has become a problem where the actual feminism that, you know, my parents grew up with is way different than what kids grow up with today.
Absolutely. And if you asked me in my early 20s, I would have been like, yeah, I'm a fucking hardcore feminist. And now,
yeah,
after growing up, I'm like, what are these women bitching about?
Exactly. Honey, how do you feel about the feminism today?
Not like it used to be.
Yeah, definitely not like it used to be.
It's an extreme.
I think, I don't know if you saw that Twitter tweet that I shared earlier yesterday. This person named Seth Dillon said, stop defining women in terms of genitals and childbearing ability. You small-minded, science-denying bigots. Womanhood is sacred. It can't be reduced to what's between your legs. A woman is anything with or without a penis who wears lipstick, heels, and a dress. How do you feel about that?
I feel some fuck no. Am I allowed to swear on this podcast?
You can. We only limit that to us. Me and Caitlin tried to not swear because we're trying to set an example for our daughter and all. But you're wild too. Papa and Tier actually just did it kind of as a joke because we told him right before the podcast, you know, you're allowed to swear. It's just me and Caitlin that aren't allowed to swear.
And they made up some words, didn't they?
Yeah, they made up some major words. I was like, huh.
I love them. It's so funny to me how the modern feminist is more of a misandrist, and they're not looking for equality anymore. Now they're looking for this superiority. But at the same time, they will defend a man, and I have nothing against transgender individuals at all, mm-hmm. but there are biological differences, and you are going to let a biological male perform in women's sports, and you're pretty much handing them the trophies. That should be a perfect example of the biological differences, because they are destroying women in sports.
Exactly. Well, it's like the video I shared earlier this week, that it was a joke, obviously, but it said a motorcyclist entered a bicycle race because he identified as a cyclist. I mean, yep. It's that kind of ideology that's like, wow, this is really messed up. And
and
I mean, we've already seen the consequences of giving in to the whole idea of, well, I was born as a male, but I identify as a female. We see that in Loudoun County. I mean, that was one of the examples when I first heard that they were trying to push transgender bathroom laws, and I was being called a bigot because of it, I was like, no, you don't understand. Someone that may identify as a female may still have the ideology of a man, can use this to weaponize and possibly criminalize an act. And unfortunately, it came true.
So, I agree with you to an extent on that. I will say it is not transgenders, like legitimate transgender individuals who are going to be causing the issues. It is predators that are posing as transgendered individuals who are causing these issues. But at the same time, what I can't grasp about transgendered individuals being offended when it comes to women or men being uncomfortable. Me, personally, I don't care. I'm going in there to take a piss. You're going in there to take a piss. It doesn't really personally affect me what's in between your legs.
Yeah.
But there has to be some form of understanding there for women who are uncomfortable with it. And you can't say, hey, fuck those women because my rights. It's not your right. It's a bathroom. And it shouldn't be as big of a deal as it was, but the media likes to push certain issues that really are non-issues until the media starts pushing them, and then it becomes in everyone's face. If it wasn't spoken about, it wouldn't be a thing. Like, honestly, I was working for a large company. There were two transgendered individuals who were working on my floor with me, and I would go to the bathroom with I referred to her as girl, and we would talk about it, and she's like, you know, it makes me sad that there are certain women who don't want me in here, and I'm like, well, you know, you kind of can't blame those women at the same time, and you know me, I'll have a conversation with anyone and be like very open and honest about it, like, yeah, I personally don't give a shit, but I know that Crystal over in the cube next to me has a very strong issue with it, and if she is afraid for any reason, then her fear should be recognized as well.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And do you think that could be chalked up to how we're educating today? Or just like, for example, when we talked about pregnancy and abortions and all, do you think that could be that we're not educating people to be a little more open-minded about this issue? That, you know, not every single one is going to be a Loudoun County case, so to speak.
It depends, because I think that there's more people on the side of, I think there's more people such as myself who really don't care.
Mm-hmm.
There's a select few individuals who do care, and it's more out of fear, and I'm not going to take that away from them. And when it comes to educating, I think, unfortunately, now with the younger generation, it's become so much of a trend that they're over-educated on it. I think it should be talked about in schools. I don't think it should be talked about in elementary, middle, or high school. Sexual orientation should not be subject matter for children of any age.
No.
It's one of those things where, like, if there's a kid who is transgender, why is it going to be a big deal to talk about it? Like, let that kid be transgender and let that kid use whatever bathroom they want, unless there is a girl. You don't know the fear behind any of the girls who have an issue with them using the bathroom. You don't know if they've been raped before. You don't know if they've been sexually assaulted before. And that's why I will never take that fear away from them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, unfortunately it is touchy. And if there is such a big issue, have a completely separate bathroom that is for use of all.
Exactly. That's what I've said all along, and people labeled me as a bigot when I first came out and said this. You want to make them feel inclusive, but you don't want to strike the fear of young women in society that possibly you could have a chance to have that sort of Loudoun County situation. Give them their own bathroom. Give them a bathroom that's for all people. That feel, if you feel like you identify as a male and you're a female, you can go to that bathroom. If you identify as a female and you're a male, you can go to that bathroom. Then you get rid of the idea of possibly, you know, having, you know, fear and everything like that.
Also having that bathroom be monitored.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because I know kids these days, they'll be like, ooh, and all... A bathroom for all of us, that's somewhere to go bang, you know? Yeah. Like, there's going to be other people that come along with that, so.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely. That too. But going back to our, I guess we kind of got off topic slightly, but going back to the feministic ideology, I mean, we've gone from, you know, women wanting voting rights, women wanting to work in the workplace, to I identify as a woman, and you can't tell me otherwise. And even to the extent of abortion, well, you're a man and you shouldn't have any, you know, opinion on this. We've gone to that kind of belief. Do you agree with that?
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I agree with it.
Do you have any more that you want to say on feminism? Because, you know, obviously me being a male, this is a topic that, you know, I could educate myself on a little bit more, because, you know, there are times that in a situation where it comes to a female, I'm in the dark about, whereas, you know, Caitlin, for example, being a female, she can educate me more on it.
I get that. I understand that. But at the same time, I'm like, you have every right to feel the way that you feel. And as a man, like, there should be no difference between you talking about abortion and a woman talking about abortion, because it truly affects all of us. Whether mm-hmm. or not women in today's society, especially on the feminist side, like to agree with that, it does affect all of us. It especially affects men who have no idea, which kills me inside. Like, it's one of those things that's like, how, I don't understand how it is only a woman's choice. How is it a choice to begin with? How did that become a woman's right. Mm-hmm. And that's what they say to me when I have these conversations with other women. It's like, it's my right. And it's like, how is murder a right for you? You know what I mean? And when men talk to me about it, and I have women in the comment section, like, shut up, you don't have a uterus, you have no opinion. And I'm like, how fucking dare you? Mm-hmm. Because if it wasn't for a man, you would not be impregnated at all, period. Yeah. That is half DNA. I know that you have to do the work. I'm sorry that biology plays into this. And I'm so sorry that you were born a woman and this is how things work. It's like this sheer denial of how things work in the world. It's like, yes, your body produces the baby, but it takes two to tango. You knew this prior to tangoing. Mm-hmm. And you're going to take away the man's say because, what, he doesn't have to carry that, carry a baby? You knew that before you had sex.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even if we can go into the Christian perspective, the Bible says man should leave his mother and be put together with his wife, and they shall become one flesh. It says right there, you know, it takes two to tango to become that one flesh. I mean, for example, and this is where people go like, whoa, wait a minute. If you're going to allow abortion, okay, then it should be up to the male and the female that they're going to do this. They should carry the burden together, because there are a lot of psychological things that can happen after an abortion to a woman. And I feel like that the male, if they agree on it, they should both carry that burden together. It shouldn't just be a woman making the decision. It should also be the man in the situation too. And people are going to say, well, wait a minute, what about incestual? What about, you know, rape and all this? Well, in that case, if they did rape the victim, they should obviously be in jail, so they should also have to carry that burden too.
Yeah, your rights get taken away when you go to jail. I'm sorry. I believe in harsher punishments for people who sexually assault anyone or rape anyone. I believe in much harsher punishments for them. That, as far as I'm concerned, they have no rights.
Right, right, definitely. And there are people... Like, for example, because we'll even, I guess we got back into the abortion topic. People are saying, well, how do you define a heartbeat? Well, obviously by ultrasound, you can hear a heartbeat. Well, there are lawmakers in New Hampshire that want to ban having an ultrasound done on abortions at 24 weeks. Why? Is that person going to decide that, oh, I want to keep the child now? Is that why you want to abandon them? Or no, not at 24 weeks, up to 24 weeks. So we're even talking about into a heartbeat. And it's... go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, far, far along into a heartbeat.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, you know, people are like, well, what about situations like that? You know, this state wants to ban heartbeat, ban an ultrasound being done. Why? You just want to terminate the child and not even have the possibility of hearing the heartbeat for the first time, or, you know, seeing it move for the first time. And what I guess I'm trying to say is it so to the point that as a society, we've gotten to the point where we know what's wrong, but we want to try to avoid it.
It's dehumanizing the fetus.
Yes.
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 That's.
I think that's what I was trying to get to.
Yes.
Yes.
It's dehumanizing the fetus, and I'm sure that makes it far more easy for the woman choosing to murder the fetus to deal with.
Mm-hmm. Because then they don't have to face the fact that, well, I just killed a human life because there was a heartbeat detected.
Yes. Yeah.
And, I mean, we can even get to the point where, and this is sick and disgusting, I don't know if you listened to Tyr and Odin's podcast the other day where they talked about this woman going on live TV, taking an abortion pill, and stoic face as could be, said, "This will be my third one," that she aborted. I mean, it's people like that that's just like, really?
Like, she had no remorse for it.
No remorse whatsoever.
But straight-faced, just took the pill.
I know a woman who just recently told me, and this woman has three children that I know of, two of which, one is in jail, one is pending trial to be sentenced to see how long he's going to be in jail. The third child that I know of is living with her ex's parents because they have full custody. I don't know if she has any more children, but she also told me that she's had 7 abortions. Mm. And now she is with a man that she has been with for 4 days now, and she's trying to get pregnant.
Mm. I'm sorry, wait a minute. What?
Yes.
7 abortions and trying to get pregnant now with... Wow. Oh, my goodness.
Well, she can't manage or handle any of her children. I think you guys know who I'm talking about, but I'm not going to name her.
I'm trying to think. I'm really trying to think about it. You might be able to tell us after the podcast, and I might be like, oh, my God. But, yeah, and you're wanting to have children, too?
She wants the child, and she said this to me straight face, not fully straight face, she was actually smiling when she said it. She wants the child because the man that she's been, for lack of a better word, fucking for the last 4 days, mm-hmm. has good credit and a good job. And she wants a child because there will be money involved.
See, I have a major problem with that.
Some parents use the kids as a cash cow.
Yes.
And that makes me sick to my stomach.
Yep.
Well, I mean, for example, and I think they talked about this on the podcast last night. There, I believe it was Red Dead that brought up this. There is stipulations in the tax law. If you have children from different type of ethnicities whatsoever and have multiple baby daddies, that's multiple checks you get, you know?
Absolutely.
And it's this mind that is mind-boggling to me, because it's like, why would you do those kind of things? You've had 7 abortions. You have children that are in trouble with the law, but you birthed those children. Why would you go to the extent of having an abortion? You know, you've already held that life in your hand one time. I mean, I'm not going to lie. When I first looked at my daughter, I fell in love with her because I was like, wow, me and my wife together, you know, created this life, you know, and birthed this life. Why would anybody want to terminate a life like this? And it's one of those things that I saw this video on TikTok, and it made me think, oh, Caitlin just shared a picture of us with our first child. I'll show it to you real quick. Hang on. Camera's coming on. Do you see it?
Oh,
that was day one. So I was still, I had to get it in a C-section, and they gave her to him, and that was like his first moments of holding her.
Yes.
And then she had to.
Yeah, she go to the bathroom.
Says, "Hey, Daddy."
Luckily, they had already put a diaper on her before she pooped on me. But anyway, yeah. I felt something warm in my shirt. I'm like, I feel something warm. Did she pee on me? And the lady took her out of my shirt, and it's like,
who I went to school with.
She's like, no, she didn't pee on you. I was like, oh, no. Oh, okay. She's like, well, she had her first poop.
And I was still out of it, so I didn't get to hold her till much later.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had children. I do think I would like to have children. I'm 32 years old, so, you know, my clock is kind of ticking. But if I do ever reproduce, like, that's the shit that I would, like, want the memories of. Like, I would love to be shit on by a baby.
Oh, we've had it happen to us before.
I've been peed on.
She's been peed on, puked on.
Remember at the apartment, the whole couch got...
Oh, yeah, puke all over it. Yeah, I remember that.
He's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, she just been up all over me. And it was like floods. It was like a river of throw up. TMI. Yep. But it was...
As gross as it is, it's adorable, and it's yep. like one of those new experiences that you have to go through with your child. It's almost like this bond thing.
It's like one of those, it's time.
You're mad right now.
Yes. I mean, it's just people like that that it makes me sick, because it's like, you've had those experiences. Why would you go to the extent of having an abortion? You know?
Seven times.
Seven times. Wow. Caitlin, you want to say anything?
So my mom, she had, you know, she had me and my two brothers, but there was one in between my two little brothers, so she's supposed to have four. Well, when she went for a checkup one day, they didn't
detect life.
Yep. No heartbeat, no nothing. And I think they even asked her for if she wanted to do an abortion. Mm-hmm. She's like, no, I'm going to just let it, you know, just have it naturally. So when that did happen, she went to the doctor and they said, yep, this is it. So then she had her own little, you know, ceremony for it out in the backyard.
Mm.
And then...
You never told me that story.
And then my first brother, who's going to be 20 this year, he was born without one arm. And they didn't tell her. Like, what gets me, this doctor knew about it when he detected it. He did not even tell her till the day he was born.
Yeah.
And his reasoning was... He didn't want her to get an abortion. And she said, well, you're stupid, because I would never do that to any of my babies.
Yep.
And I don't know where he's at now, but I'm glad he's not here. You know, I'm glad he's not there. But
He actually was your OBGYN for the longest time.
Until we got married.
Until we got married, because I was like, after you told me that story, I was like, there's no way he's going to be birthing your children.
But it was just crazy. And my mom, she's pro-life as well, you know.
Mm-hmm. And it's I think, for a lack of a better terms, it's all goes down to education. I think we don't educate children enough to say, hey, you know, this is how. I mean, and we're not talking, like, for example, the way you did a video on that was talking about, you know, teaching sexual identity to children at a preschool age.
Preschool, that's where I teach. I teach preschool ages.
We're talking about, say, high school, you know, teaching kids, you know, the possible outcomes to having sex without protection, or using the proper, you know, routes and all. We're automatically telling, you know, teenage mothers that, you know, get pregnant. You know, abortion is a possibility. Abortion is a possibility. No, we should teach children that, you know, there are other alternatives, such as adoption, such as foster care, such as, you know, other governmental programs that can help you raise the child.
I used to watch, I still watch off and on, Teen Mom. I watched that whole series. I watched, you know, 16 and Pregnant. And there was one girl, she tried it, you know, she tried being a mama for a while. I think it was like a whole month. And she decided, after much thinking and talking with her mama about it, she let her mom's brother and wife adopt that baby.
Wow. Wow.
And she got to see it, you know, because it was an open, of course it was an open adoption. I can't remember her name, but I was like, wow.
I mean, you know? Even for example, my sister-in-law, even though I don't really talk to anymore.
Because of our baby.
But we'll get into that. Later. I think we've actually gotten into that on our podcast.
Bit. Yeah.
But she had a baby out of wedlock. She gave it up for adoption. Well, that adoption actually turned into an adoption agency.
And I actually work where it grew.
Yeah. My wife actually works where the adoption agency is. And so it's one of those things that, you know, there are alternatives out there besides abortion.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But those aren't as advertised because it's like the abortion is like the quick and easy.
Mm-hmm.
And no, that's another thing that no one talks about is like the mental health effects of after mm-hmm. a woman gets.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean. Unless you're a heartless individual, you are going to have the mental aspects that, oh my God, I just killed my own child. You know, I just terminated possibly my future child.
Like, yeah. Like that child could have been a doctor, a lawyer,
mm-hmm.
you know, Lord, the next president,
President, the next one to cure cancer.
Yeah, like.
You know, I mean.
A teacher,
yes.
All the, you know, a cop. You know, and then so on.
Yeah.
You know, but that baby didn't get life.
Nope.
Yeah.
He didn't get a chance.
With my sister, when I was growing up, my sister got pregnant at 16.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you guys, I don't know if you guys know how close I am to my niece. My niece is my best friend. But the conversation was had with her, you know, so what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
That's the conversation. What are you going to do? And my sister chose to keep. And I could not imagine my life without that little girl in it.
Mm-hmm.
And she herself is 16 now. She's going to be 17 next month. But I couldn't, you know, she don't got to be a doctor. She don't got to be nothing special. She's actually a pain in my ass. But I love that child. She's. Yeah. She's amazing and she's beautiful and she is a blessing to this family no matter what.
Yeah. And I mean, it's even like our daughter. Our daughter can be a pain in the backside sometimes too, but we couldn't imagine life without her, you know?
Like this morning, she woke up and then came to me where I was and she said, "Good morning, Mommy. I'm beautiful." I didn't say nothing about it to her. She did it herself.
Mm-hmm.
We, every day we try to put, you know, positivity in her, you know, we're doing the best we can.
Now, granted, we do have negative reinforcement as well sometimes.
When she acts out, and she yeah. knows, I mean, if she does something that she's, like, last few days
like,
at school.
Like, for example, she was kicking me today.
Yeah.
I would kick.
And she got her little fanny whooped because, you know, he's just now getting, you know, his wounds are starting to heal from his surgery, and, you know, he's out of work for a few days, but.
Yep, and I mean, it's all in all, it's one of those things that if our government would actually take the time to actually educate people on the other alternatives besides abortion, I think it would be a non-issue. Because I think Bro Cephas said this last night, that you don't stay in the foster care system long sometimes. Unless you're past the 7-year age, you get adopted quickly. People thinking that, well, the adoption agencies are overran. Are they really? You know?
You know, even if they are, I do agree with them having obviously they need to have standards to who that they're adopting mm-hmm. to, but there is a waiting list of people who want children, who can't have their own, who love children, who just want to make their families whole. and they're jumping through all these hoops, which I agree to an extent, the hoops being there. But you have people backed up to get children. And your claim, and I've heard this claim, like the system is overrun with babies who need to be adopted. Well,
yeah,
get adopted. Like, it's not that hard.
For example, people would say that too, and I'll say this: adoption shouldn't be so expensive either. And this is just the application. Like, for example, when my brother and sister-in-law could not have children and found out that there was no possibility they could have children, they went to look at adoption. It was just for the application here in the state of South Carolina, $20,000. And that didn't even guarantee you a child.
That was just like, here, 50-50 chance, you know.
And
that's ridiculous.
And before you throw down that kind of money, you need to know that you have at least a 85-90% chance of getting a child.
Yeah.
Not a 50-50 chance. I mean, if I went to a poker table and only had a 50-50 chance to win on something, I'm not going to throw down major money on it first.
I mean, absolutely. It dissuades people from wanting to go through the system. And I mean, I'm not sure about what the state adoption is in my area. I know it's cheaper than that, but at the same time, $20,000, in whose mind is it? That's one of the things that I think that shouldn't be a standard, is having any astronomical amount of money. Like, I think poor individuals raise children just as well as anyone who has money. It's all a frame of mind. It has nothing to do with if you're rich or poor. That's what makes me upset about the adoption system. It's like, I grew up with it. I was pretty middle class my entire life. But I had friends in trailer parks. And I personally was like, when I got older and I was looking at houses, my first house was a trailer. Because like, there's nothing wrong with living in trailer parks. There was a bunch of running around, getting muddy, getting their knees scraped, and that's what life's about. It's not about the fucking money that you have to put toward a down payment on a kid.
Exactly.
We even talked about if we couldn't have a baby when we first started trying, we were going to
possibly adopt.
No, foster care to adopt.
Foster care to adopt, and then we found out it was like $20,000, and we're like, Oh, we can't do that.
Yeah.
And you guys are great people. You guys are fantastic parents. And
well, thank you.
Sometimes we don't think so, but
no, it's true. You guys are fantastic people, both of you. You know, we all have our roles in the group, and you guys are clearly like the level-headed adult, but just like that Southern hospitality, fantastic human. And you guys are great parents, and it would be great if you could have another child through the system. And it really I keep swearing, I'm sorry.
It's
really
all right.
That people like you have to jump through these hoops.
And there are ones out there that abuse the foster care system and do it just because they're getting a check out of it.
And that makes me sick to my stomach.
Yep.
Like, they need to do better background checks.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and a background check don't cost no $20,000.
No.
No.
Well, I mean, we can even go to the extent of, you know, background checks. We're talking about better background checks. We can even talk about it with legal immigration, too, you know. There should be extensive background checks on all these kind of things, you know?
Especially right now when we have so many countries who hate us.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what people on the left don't seem to understand. They think it's this big racist motive of getting background checks and having individuals come here legally, and it has nothing to do with the individual themselves. Like, no one is racist towards the individual. It's the system that's failing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Because, I mean, people will say, when I say that, you know, there should be more extensive background checks. Well, you're being racist. No, I'm not. I just want, kind of like Trump wanted, I want merit for why you're coming to our country. You know, you're giving us, if you're giving us just criminals, you're not helping us grow as a country. But if you're giving us individuals that want to become construction workers or want to become restaurant owners or things like that, that's the kind of people I want, because that helps my economy grow.
Absolutely. And it's such a contradiction from the left when they're saying that, you know, it's racist to not want illegal immigrants to be crossing the borders. Mm-hmm. That's supposedly racist. But if the leftists truly view the world as they say they do, and I know several of them have been saying, like, white supremacy is the biggest issue in the United States that we're dealing with right now, which is total bullshit, number one. But number two, if white supremacy is truly that large of an issue, why do you want illegal immigrants in here? People of different ethnicities and backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they coming here to find a better place? You know, it's like if America is so racist and terrible the way that the left makes it out to be, then why do we have this influx of individuals of all races and colors and backgrounds coming here for a better life?
Exactly. I mean,
I love it when the left contradicts themselves. I mean,
for example, I have a friend that's an illegal immigrant here. And he said, you know, I would go through the citizenship. This was a long time ago. He's like, I would go through the citizenship program, but it takes, you know, so long to get here, and, you know, it's almost easier to just come across the border now, and instead of, you know, going through the proper procedures to become a citizen. I mean, he fled his country because of prosecution. So, and he wanted to make a better life for his family. And eventually he became a U.S. citizen. It took him a while, but, you know, he did odd jobs. He got his hands dirty. He did what he had to do to, you know, be a proper citizen of our society. And yet there are some illegal immigrants that will come across the border, and all they'll do is commit crime. Or they'll bring drugs across the border. Or sex trafficking. I mean, you know,
Some individuals are going to have ulterior motives. Not all.
Yeah.
But some, and it's an easy way to achieve those ulterior motives. Especially when, you know, our government is allowing the illegal immigration. But if you look at other countries, even Canada, anyone who immigrates to Canada has to pay for their immigration. They have to pay. We're the only country, I believe, that it is free to immigrate here. We just want you to abide by our laws.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we ask for. Everywhere else, you're gonna have to pay some ridiculous amount of money to establish yourself. So yes, America is one of the easier places to establish yourself legally, which is why I get so frustrated with the illegal immigration and the handouts and how we treat our veterans in the United States compared to the illegal immigrants. The illegal immigrants are literally being shipped unvaccinated when we're supposedly in this deadly pandemic. The illegals are allowed to be unvaccinated. I think they just dropped off a bunch in New York. Mm-hmm. They're giving housing, they're giving them food, they're giving them money, they're giving them college, when Americans have to work so hard for those things. And that's the issue that a lot of people have.
Yeah. And I mean, you can even go to the extent they're giving them the right to vote, too, without even having the citizenship to vote. Because I've always believed when it comes to voting, you should have to be a citizen of this country,
mm-hmm.
because you have to understand, you know, what you're voting for, who you're voting for. Now, I will say this. Some citizens in this world aren't educated on who they're voting for and why they're voting for them. But, you know, you still have to have that citizenship. Just like if you're a member of a group, you have to, and you have to vote, you have to be a member of that group. You can't just come into a group and say, I vote for this. Well, you don't know what you're voting for.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're going to vote blue.
Yeah, exactly.
Obviously. And that's the goal. That's the goal. That's the American goal right now. And I truly do not understand it. They're trying to eliminate our democracy.
Yeah.
And our democracy as Americans is one of the most beautiful things that we have. And apparently nowadays it's us tearing each other apart, which I strongly disagree with. You know that with my lives. And trying to just build the bridge between Republicans and Democrats.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's one of those things that it's like, for example, I agree with Odin on this part. It's not a right or left thing. It's a good versus evil mentality now. Because we need to get past the point of, well, they're a left-wing individual, so I don't believe what they say. Well, that's fine and dandy. But that's one of your citizens. That's one of your brothers and sisters. And we go back to Christianity. That's one of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Like, for example, my friend who was the head coach at Southern Wesleyan. We don't agree ideology-wise, but we are best friends. And, I mean, there are times that if we get into a political conversation, we get to the point where, well, we're not going to agree, but at least we're, you know, still good friends. Because, you know, that's the beauty of our democracy. We can disagree and disagree, but at the end of the day, we're all American citizens.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I have family members who are more liberal left-leaning, and we have constructive conversations, not regularly, but, you know, we see each other, and if it's the topic that we choose, then we choose it, and we don't fight about it. We don't mm-hmm. sit there and get frustrated and yell at each other. We just kind of, you know, very obviously and strongly disagree, but it's that name-calling, it's that bullshit, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, I try not to put up with in lives, but, you know, if someone wants to sound like an asshole, I'm going to let them sit there and sound like an asshole. I'm not going to boot them.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like you said with Odin and Tyr, you had that one person come in and say, let's make liberals cry. That's not going to help bridge it. If anything, that's going to make it, you know, even worse.
Exactly. I was like, did you not just read the title of the live? Like, you come in here, because I invite whoever, like, jumps into the guest box, I'll put them in there. I don't know anything about them. I don't know anything about where they stand politically. I don't know what their age, color, gender, whatever. I don't care. I want your opinion as a human.
Mm-hmm.
And when you come into the box as a Republican, ready to make liberals cry, and I'm like, dude, look at the title. That's not what this is about. This
right.
is about constructive conversation and building the bridge.
Right.
Realize media and what the media is shoving down our throats about division isn't true, and we can have these conversations, because online, where these conversations take place, is the only time that I've ever had people be so aggressive towards me.
Mm-hmm.
People don't talk to me like that in real life outside of the internet. Oh, you know
definitely.
What I mean?
Definitely. I mean,
people don't tell die. People don't tell me that I'm ugly. People don't tell me to, they tell me a lot of things, okay? But that it's said to me in person. It's only like these internet, hide behind your computer screen people. And that's where you find the true racists.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you find the true bigots.
Mm-hmm.
And I put them on blast all day, every day.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and that's one good thing about this whole feature with TikTok now. I wish they would get rid of the whole you have to have 1,000 to go live. Because, you know, then you could find out who are the real racists? Who are the real bigots? Because they're the ones that are hiding behind the keyboards, as Tyr and Odin will say, gatekeeping. And it's like, you know, we got to build some kind of bridge. We got to come together as an American society, or we don't have America ever anymore. You know, absolutely, the America we will know and love will be dead, because people on the left that want to get rid of democracy will get rid of democracy.
Exactly. Stimpy. I thought he was going to pee for a second.
How you feel real quick? How you feel about this?
I agree with you.
Oh, okay.
Whatever you say.
Poor Kate has a headache, and we know it. I'm sorry, Caitlin.
No, it's okay. It's, here in a few days, my teaching at work is going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going from the threes to the baby room.
Which will be a lot better for her. Yeah, she'll have to deal with crying babies, but, you know.
Yeah, it's just because in August I would have moved anyway because of Addie. Because I can't, by DSS laws, I can't teach her. But because she's my own, and plus she's a really jealous kid.
She is a very jealous kid. Oh my goodness.
So Christmas, we went over to my stepbrother and sister-in-law's house, which we just call each other, you know, brother and sisters. But she saw me holding their little boy, and she said, "Come on, Mama, put that baby down and let's go home."
Or when we can't teach nursery anymore
at our church
because
she'll get so jealous.
I had one of the little girls in my lap, just decided to sit down in my lap and let me read her story. She literally got over there, climbed on me, and was like, "No, Daddy, that's my spot."
So I've been stressed out, you know, about everything, and you know.
She even told me if she's making the right choice, and I'm like, "Yes, you are, because you need this." I wouldn't say rest, but you need this new opportunity. New start. And it's one of those things, she did it when she first started that daycare. She worked in the
infants.
No, you worked in the infants, didn't you?
No.
I thought that the first second year job. And a half you did.
No, I worked in force.
Oh.
Remember, I got away from that age because of Addie being that age.
That's right.
And now, since Addie's almost three, I just felt led, after my boss talked to me, which she said, I've had some great, you know, comments about you, and you're doing a wonderful job, and this is why we're picking you, you know. So I'll be taking over that class soon, and I'm really excited about it, nervous, you know. And the little, I call them my little friends, the little kids that I'm going to be looking after is, I already know all their parents because they're sisters and brothers are in my room or in my age group. So it's not like I'm leaving them. I'm still going to be in the same building, but I'm going from like 11 to 4. So at the moment, you know, so.
And that's a major
And drop. I've been really, you know, my head's been hurting ever since like Wednesday, wasn't it?
And yeah. you've been falling asleep at the drop of a hat. And it's one of those things, I see this and I'm like, okay, it's time for you to, you know, change opportunities. Luckily it changed its opportunity itself. Most people, when they get that way, have to quit a job or something like that, but you know, luckily it changed itself.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were some days Caitlin would come home crying because, you know, three-year-olds, there, people say terrible twos are bad. No, the three, as Caitlin said, will tell you, the three-year-olds are the ones that are awful.
Well, I wouldn't say awful.
Not awful.
No, by no means. Every child is wonderful, you know. And
but they try to become little teenagers. So
yes.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, they will always have a place in my heart, you know. I'm not tired of that age group. I'm not, you know. It's just, I just think, you know, believe the Lord has, you know, another opportunity for me. And since we want him to have another one, I need to kind of go back a little bit, you know.
Yep.
One to make sure. But anyways, well, I think we're going to end this episode. If you want to, if you guys want to listen to Unpopular Opinion Queen, it's on TikTok at @popular_opinion_queen. Anything else you want to say, Queen, before we end this episode?
Nothing. I just love you guys.
We love you too, Queen.
Love you too.
But that'll do it for this episode of Parental Break with Jay and Kay. I'm Justin.
And I'm Caitlin.
And we'll see you on the next episode. Bye.
Bye.
Guys, we have now reached 10 episodes. If you want to be a guest on our podcast, please email us at the email provided. Caitlin and I have decided after 10 episodes, we are now going to allow guests. So if you're interested, email us. We will email you back. We hope you have a blessed one, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.